everybody. John Bishop here with John Bishop Fine Art, and you're back at Art Life, the podcast. Welcome back. I'm glad you're here with me today. It is a new year, so happy new year. Hopefully things are going your way. We are doing great. So much on the horizon for this new year. And not just creating like New Year's resolutions, because I don't really follow those. So that's not what I'm talking about. We have used the new year as kind of a catalyst to start some new things. Now, one of which will be to be more, you know, diligent about doing these kinds of content. And more so than that, we have our goals and objectives for the year, and we're going to try and become really, really good at PR. We've actually started working with a PR specialist. His name is Harold Nickel. And Harold is already proving to be quite a challenge for us, and that's a good thing. So what Harold did was he looked at our all of the content that we're putting out, and the first thing he asked was, who are you marketing to? Do other artists buy your art? And largely, no. I mean, yes, some do, and we certainly collect art from other people, from our colleagues. But no, most of our market, people we're selling to, are not other artists. And he said, well, all of your content is directed at other artists, kind of like this is too. So we decided that what we were going to do is try and reevaluate kind of where we're spending most of our time. And not that we don't want to talk to you guys, but we will continue to talk to you guys. But we will also reach out to the people who are not artists, but who collect art. And so the first kind of thing that we're doing along those lines, and we're very, very excited about, is that we're bringing in Rosa Ana Orlando, who was a local art advisor, art curator. She curated a show for us over at Silver Street Studios. And she's a lovely, lovely person. And Rosa Ana has been pretty accomplished in her educational background, in her experience in curating collections, some of them huge. And so what Rosa Ana is going to do is she's going to come talk this next Saturday to a group of our collectors about creating art collections and how to build them and what to do with them once you've got them and how to organize them and maybe what to do with them when you're through with them. So it should be a really, really interesting conversation, and one that kind of sprung from a survey we did of our collectors. And we asked them about what they collect and why. And a number of them had a hard time answering that question. Others of our collectors said they don't really consider themselves to be collectors. And I think that was the catalyst for getting someone in who's more of a professional who can actually talk to them and to us about how do you approach this in a new way and maybe a step it up a bit from what they've been doing in the past. And so that's what we're going to talk about. We have limited space. We're only able to have 20 people come to the event. But we've got the place booked and we're quite excited. Now, I think the real question that a lot of them seem to have is that they feel somehow inadequate or timid about the way they're approaching their art careers, because they don't say to themselves that they are collectors like the big boys and like the big girls, that they're not collecting Picassos and Rembrandts. They are not big blue chip collectors. And therefore, I think they don't want to seem presumptuous or you know, look dumb if they don't know things. And so the real purpose of this is to maybe have conversations that would spark them into proceeding further with something that they enjoy, collecting art, maybe to make them feel better about themselves as art collectors, and you know, hopefully build relationships with them that will mean that they will continue to collect our art, that they will look to us when they have questions, and they'll look to us when they have joys that they want to share. It's just, I think it's a really, really good event, and we're so lucky that we've got Rosa Anna willing to do that. And what's good for Rosa Anna, I'm hoping, is that these people, as they decide that maybe they need to develop their collections more professionally, that they will know who to call. They will be able to call someone like Rosa Anna and maybe give her some business too. So I think it's a win-win. We are stoked. So part of getting ready for this is to do this kind of content around the subject. And so we will be doing our blog entries, our vlog, this podcast, as well as press releases and social media content that are all about this topic. And every week we will have a new topic. And that's pretty scary to me right now because it seems so daunting. But I think it'll be really exciting. And I'm hoping it'll keep Bogdan and I more on task and better at preparing and executing this kind of content. But I wanted to start with one of the things that is a huge concern, I think, for people, particularly when you're looking at modern contemporary art, is what is art? And used to be that question was a lot easier to answer. And then once the modernists and the contemporary artists came along, they really started to challenge all these kind of entrenched beliefs about art. And we started to realize that, you know, art is a lot of things. And it can get really confusing because we all have seen art that we have said is absolute crap, and we can't think that people are actually serious. And yet these things are absolutely considered in the canon of art, and they are well priced, and people collect them. There are others who do stunningly beautiful pieces of art and don't seem to get much attention at all. And they seem to have a lot more talent than I do, certainly, and yet they don't seem to be excelling as far as art sales are concerned. So part of that, I think, is a misunderstanding about, or a kind of a hesitancy to even define art. You know, you see these kind of videos and presentations on the news of, you know, elephants painting paintings at the zoo, and apes drawing things and painting things. And you look at the artwork of a child and you're like, I don't see the difference. I just don't see the difference between what I'm doing and what a kid's doing. In fact, I had somebody write to me on Instagram saying, dude, a three-year-old could do what you're doing. Well, fine, good for the three-year-old. So I think that misunderstanding, that lack of clarity and certainty when making decisions about what is and what is not art, can become kind of challenging. Look, there's a bird, the bowerbird. I don't know where it is, where it lives, but somewhere far away. And the bowerbird collects shiny objects, usually, I think, blues. But I don't guess always in blue, and they will decorate an area around their territory in hopes of attracting a female. And it apparently works. And these are intentional creations by these birds, aesthetically pleasing, apparently, to the bird, and they work hard on them, and they fret over them and change them and add to them, and they have preferences that are pretty apparent as far as color and size and arrangement. And you think to yourself, okay, well, what is the difference between that art and the art I'm doing right now. I mean, if intention is the hallmark of art, well, those birds are doing that intentionally. And though the elephant whose painting is doing it intentionally as far as making brushstrokes and things, I don't guess there's any evidence that the elephant has any kind of aesthetic appreciation for what it's doing. But bowerbirds do. And I think there are other examples in the animal kingdom of what appear to be appreciation for aesthetics. So that can be quite confusing. So once you actually determine that you can tell the difference between what is art and what is not, then you have to say, why would I collect it? And we collect all kinds of things. I sadly, as Bogdan, I have a large collection of ceramic pixies from the 1950s and 60s. Those horrible little elves that would sit on shelves, or they would become little pots for seedlings. And these things are pretty ghastly. I inherited it from my grandmother. Oddly enough, doesn't seem like anyone else in the family wanted them. But that little collection meant something to me. I thought it was cute. I thought it was funny. And is not of interest to anyone else. But that's okay. It's a collection. And the reason for collecting it is because I found joy in it, and I found an interest in comparing and contrasting the kinds of pixies and the positions and the paint colors and things like that. And I don't want to collect anything that is new. I don't want new pixies. I just want the traditional old 1950s, 60s pixies, as ghastly as they are. So I have some criteria around that collection that says, here's what I collect and here's what I don't. And that becomes important because I don't just collect any old pixie. There is an intention. There is a plan that I work to. Now, fortunately, I've given up that collection. It is a dead collection. Bogdan won't allow me to purchase any more. And I used to scour the internet and the eBay auctions, and I would find them in antique shops, etc. And that was fun for me. There was a quest, and I enjoyed making that kind of search and collecting them when I found them, and, you know, seeing the appreciation on the face of whoever it was that was selling it, that somebody actually got it. So there is a real, I think, joy in collecting. But I do believe that the only way a collection makes sense is if you have some sort of plan. And I guess that's what I'm really hoping that Rosa Anna will do for us, is to give us kind of a roadmap for a plan. And the important thing to remember is that when you're worried about where do you start as a collector, my assumption is that you've already started. You know, if you bought a painting, if you bought a sculpture, you're a collector. You have purchased art, and you are taking care of it, and it's in your home, and hopefully you will continue to do that if it brings you joy. Now, some people collect for different reasons. Some people collect because they want to decorate their home, or they want to add a certain vibe or elegance to their home. And some people buy art just because it reminds them of a holiday they took and they really enjoyed. And some people collect only from people they've met, so that they have this one-on-one relationship with the artist, which gives them, you know, interest and joy when they're building that collection, and gives them something to talk about at dinner parties when people come over. So, I mean, there's any number of reasons to collect. And some people collect for an investment to try and make millions of dollars later as resale. And I'm not sure those are the people who are buying my art. But one day. The important thing to remember, though, is that when you are building that collection, you need to write stuff down. I think one of the most common things I hear from my collectors are, oh yeah, I have a story for every one of these pieces of art, and it's right up here in my head. Well, I'm sorry, but that what's in your head right now for a collection of 10 things or 50 things or 100 things, when it's 200-300 things over a period of 20 years, you're going to forget. You're going to forget all kinds of things about that art. In fact, I just, in the limited things I collect, I've had to write to artists and say, what was the title of that again? And by the way, I never ask you any questions about this piece of art. Can you give me more information? But you need to write all this down. And that's for two reasons. First of all, you're going to forget. So find a way, make a file, throw information about the paintings, or I say paintings because I'm a painter, for whatever the artwork is, where you got it, how much you paid for it, keep a receipt, keep a certificate of authenticity. And by the way, if I haven't given you a certificate of authenticity in the past when you purchase my work, please let me know, because I really should have done that. But sometimes you don't think of yourself as an important artist who's going to be collected, and other people don't think of themselves as collectors, and so they don't do that in the early stages, and that stuff then gets lost. It's really important that what you create in your records is a provenance. And a provenance is the history of that piece of art between you, the owner, and the artist who made it. And the older that piece gets, and as far removed from the artist as that piece gets, the harder those things are to prove. So to have a clear provenance on a piece of artwork is vital. And it's vital not only for your own understanding of what you have, but also in what it's worth. You're able to look at an artist maybe after they're dead, or at least over the span of their career, and maybe you're collecting early works that might really be more valuable or at least more collectible further down in that artist's career. So it's important to have a record written down somewhere that is accessible. I use a program called Artwork Archive. I'm not endorsed by them in any way, but I love Artwork Archive because I can put everything in one place, and it's a database that I can put all my art in, all the information about how that was created, who I sold it to, when, for how much, and how much tax was charged. And I can then create reports of what is sold, what hasn't, what certain series have done and which ones haven't, where they're on exhibition and when, and ultimately, you know, what will be kind of where they are at this particular moment. And so all of that's online, and I can get to it wherever I am in the world. The problem, though, is, you know, in 30 years, maybe Artwork Archive goes out of business. And if that were to happen, where's all my data? And if I were to pass away, does anybody know that I have Artwork Archives, and do they have the password to get into it so they could actually see what I have collected over the years? So it's not a bad idea to also have a paper copy. And that's something that Rosa Anna has already suggested when we've spoken to her in the past. It is so, so important when you decide to kind of divest your collection, whether that's to give it to your kids. And the other thing we always hear from artists is our kids don't want anything to do with it. You know, I lost both my parents not too long ago, and I can tell you that there are a lot of things that became important to me that I didn't think were important when they were still alive. So to have that record, that written record in files or however you organize it, that would have said what mom and dad or mom or dad felt passionate about and what they worked their lives collecting, that would have become much more important to me. And to hear those stories and the connections they have with artists who may be important now after many years, that could be really, really important to your kids. But even if it's not, to have those files accessible and clear for your kids after you pass, then they would know what you have, what it's worth, and perhaps some of the importance of the collection that you've collected over the years. So that's not unimportant. Another thing to remember is that there are a lot of people who amass collections, and those collections make sense as collections. And if you start to split those collections up, because people, maybe you've got 10 kids and each one wants a section, that you're killing that collection as a unit. Some people opt for donating those collections to museums or to institutes or schools that will preserve this collection as a thing in their own holdings, their own art holdings. So that gives another reason to have this stuff organized. Anyway, the most important part of anything you're doing with art collecting art is that you're enjoying it, that it brings you joy. I don't tend to have a strict rule when I'm buying art. If I see something I like and I can afford it at the time, I buy it. And then I find how it fits in. And of course, it will fit in because I've got certain joys and preferences and proclivities. So yeah, as long as you're enjoying it, continue to collect. Build those collections in a way that is consistent with a plan, and really, really take care of recording what you have, what you're going to do with it, because that can become important over time. Have a lovely week. I will see you later. I'll keep you posted on what happens with Rosa Ann Orlando, because that should be really exciting. And otherwise, have a great week. Happy New Year. And I'll talk to you again next week. Bye now.